Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. I want to just make sure that we were all on the same page. Today is kind of an unusual day for me. It's a very good day, and I'm very humbled by it. Therefore, while it seemed like every first day or first Sunday of the year, I had the opportunity to speak. And then I got sick and didn't get that opportunity. And so I am very grateful for that opportunity. There is a, up on the screen behind me, there is a statement that, well, maybe you've heard before, maybe you haven't. It's a statement that's been made in the government service. I understand that it's made in the business section, that it's even made, well, quite often, everywhere you look. And that statement is, it is easier to ask forgiveness than it is to request permission. Is that a true statement? It's easier to ask forgiveness than request permission. Well, I submit to you that that is an incorrect statement. It is an ungodly statement because of this reason. God demands obedience. Did I say that right? Strongly enough, God demands obedience. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 22 and 23, after King Saul had gone to battle against the Amalekites, and Saul had disobeyed God, Samuel spoke to him, to King Saul, and said, "It is better to obey than to offer sacrifice." So obedience is my theme for this morning. And I invite you, I ask you, to open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. Now the lessons that we're going to be looking at, I think, is learning from the unknown prophet. The lessons from the unknown prophet. And I'm going to give you the punchline right now. The lesson that we're going to learn from the unknown prophet is obedience to God, to God's instruction. So let's look at 1 Kings chapter 13 and see what is all progressing. In the account that is given in 1 Kings chapter 13 does not exist on its own. It is in a context of civil unrest. It is a time of rebellion against the authority of God. You remember King Solomon was a very wise man because God gave him wisdom. But what happened? He had so many wives. What was it? 700 wives and 300 concubines. And in chapter 11 of 1 Kings, verse 3, it says, "And his wives turned his heart away from God. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart after other gods." This is a time of rebellion. Rebellion against God. Because people are rebelling against his instruction. From the king on the throne to the man on the street. Now the person we're going to be speaking about in 1 Kings chapter 13 is an unidentified prophet. We don't know who he is. God didn't tell us. But we can still learn from him. This time in which he is writing, this account occurred, was a time of civil unrest, of civil division. It is a time where the heir to the throne, Rehoboam, chose to, rather than the counsel of God, or the counsel of King Solomon's advisors, he decided to, what was the word down? Put the thumb down on the people. You know, I kind of think about that when I hear that radio announcer, and he's talking about the Chiefs, and he says, what? It's time to put the hammer down. End it. Well, this is what Rehoboam was doing to the children of Israel. This is a time of rebellion which Jeroboam comes up out of Egypt and he divides the people of Israel and he establishes places of worship in the northern tribes of rebellion. It gets so bad that Levites who lived among the 10 northern tribes were expelled from the country. Driven out. This is a time of civil war in which we're told that Rehoboam had amassed or assembled 180,000 chosen warriors to go and get back the kingdom that he gave away. This is a time of rebellion. Well, if you will turn with me to 13th chapter, 1 Kings, we're going to see just a couple of things. Number one, God's word is declared. That's what the prophet does. God sent him up to King Jeroboam with a message. He declares the message. The message is confirmed. What's that third point? God's spokesman is protected. The message he gives us is found in chapter 13, beginning in verse 2. O altar, altar, thus says the Lord. Behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, Josiah by name. That's pretty specific, isn't it? Not only just saying what tribe he is, what lineage he is, but the name of the person involved. Josiah by name, and he shall sacrifice on you the priest of the high places who make offerings on you, and human bones shall be burned upon you. What an altar! What a thing to worship at! Place that is desecrated by human bones. And as he gave this message, he gave a confirmation. Look, you're going to know this is going to happen, he says in verse 3. And he gave a sign the same day saying, this is a sign that the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be torn down, and the ashes that are on it shall be poured out. Now when King Jeroboam heard this thing, he was incensed. And he stretched out his hand and said, seize him! Now, your King James says, and your new King James, Chris, I think says, and his hand was withered. Yes. The ESV, the New American, the American Standard said, his hand was, what was the word? Dried up. So that he could not pull it back to himself. The King Jeroboam had a direct, immediate confirmation. So you know what he did? Go ahead and read in the text. What Jeroboam did after his hand was withered up, it was seized up, he commanded that the altar be torn down. Wait a minute. Did you hear what I just said? The prophet of God said a sign to you that this is going to happen, that Josiah is going to be burning human bones and will be sacrificing the priest to your unknown gods, is that this altar is going to be torn down. What did Jeroboam say? Tear it down! He confirmed the word of this unknown prophet. We also see that in this text, by getting Jeroboam's attention with that withered hand, with that seized hand, God protected the prophet. Now, this shouldn't be a surprise. God has protected his spokespeople in times past. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 9, Paul is instructed to continue the work that God has given him to do, that he will be protected. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26, Jesus says, oh wow, consider the birds of the air. They do neither toil nor spin, but wait a minute, how important are you compared to a bird? But God cares for you. In Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through the following, to the end of the chapter, we read that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Whether it be kings or princes or principalities or things above or things below, nothing can separate us from the love of God. We have that protection. Does that mean that we won't have trials? That we won't have troubles? Not at all. As a matter of fact, we're guaranteed to have both of those. But what we are told is found in Psalms chapter 19 and verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The word of God is what we need. That is what the prophet spoke. That's what he spoke. Simple and plain. God's word is powerful. What convicts people today? It's not your eloquence. It is not the great theological debates and the value that... No, it's God's word that convicts. God cares about his people. Lesson there for us. But there's more to this event in 1 Kings chapter 13. God gave the prophet a very explicit, get that word, a very direct instruction. He says, you shall neither eat nor shall you drink, nor return by the way you shall come. Now, God doesn't tell us why he was in such a haste. Go do what I tell you and get yourself home. Seems to be the implication. Don't go and fiddle around, we might say today. Well, maybe God was concerned that for the safety of his prophet. Maybe God, we don't know. It's speculation. It is speculation. But what we do know is that there was initial obedience from the prophet. He went, he gave the message, he declined the hospitality of Jeroboam. After Jeroboam is afflicted, after he tears down the altar, he says, hey, come over to my house. And the prophet said, no. Not even if you give me half of your kingdom. Not even if you give me your riches, I will not do it because God said, what? Go home. Neither eat nor drink here. Go home by a different way. God was very specific. Many believers have begun their journey in Christ the proper manner. They had faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They believed in him. They confessed that Jesus is the Son of God. That God is not pleased with sin. And that there was a need for Jesus in their lives, of his sacrifice that Bill talked about at the Lord's table. Many, like the prophet, obey the word. Great. Great. But we see that our story, or our event, the record does not end here. In 1 Kings chapter 13, living in the land of Samaria, in the town of Bethel, where all this event took place, was an old prophet. An old prophet. Who sons came and told him of what had occurred with this prophet, this man from Judah, and Jeroboam, about the withered hand, about the broken altar, about his refusing the hospitality of the king. And he gets on his mule. He goes and he chases the prophet from Judah down. Look at that. Let's look at that just a minute. Verses 11 and following is where we're talking. And an old prophet lived in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the words that he had spoken to the king. And their father said to him, "Which way did he go?" And his son showed him the way the son of the man of God who came from Judah had gone. Verse 13, and he said to his son, "Saddle the donkey for me." And they saddled the donkey for him, and he mounted it. And he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak tree. I think it's a significant thought. Where God had told the prophet, "Get your message, get home. Get your message, don't eat, don't drink, don't hesitate, get home." The prophet from Judah was resting under an oak tree. Now the older prophet lied. He said that he had a new revelation from God, and that he was to invite him into his home and give him bread and give him water. He was to take care of him, help him on his journey. He lied. Scripture is very plain on that issue. He lied. I asked Chris to read the passage that we looked at in our reading earlier, where there are many spirits in the world. But you know, nothing contradicts the Word of God. Nothing contradicts the Word of God. God is consistent. Hebrew writer even tells us that. That there are two things that God can't do. He can't lie, and He cannot break His oath. But the prophet lied. The younger prophet was found resting under an oak tree. Likewise, many Christians, after they have been united with Christ, sit down to rest. Sit down to rest. They don't grow up. Isn't that what Paul told the Corinthians as he spanked them for their pride? He says, "Grow up." The Hebrew writer says, "Grow up." Well, we have the example here of this man, this young prophet, under the oak tree. There's a couple of lessons I think we can look from this. One is that God's Word is powerful. It was powerful then, it's powerful today, and it'll be powerful tomorrow. God protects His people. That doesn't mean that they'll be in a rose garden. Even roses have thorns. There's a lesson here of implied or inferred haste. Don't eat or drink anything there. Go a different way. You've got the Word of God. Don't add to it. And I think that's the basic message that we have, Chris, from your reading. So there's some lessons that we can take. God's Word is powerful. He protects His people. The job ain't over. Can I use that vernacular? The job ain't over until God says it is. Now you've heard, job's not over until the fat lady sings. It ain't over until God says it is. That message that was to be brought up to Jeroboam was just part of the task. He needed to get home as God instructed. There is a lesson here also that we should not be misled. Well, there was judgment. If we finish reading the rest of chapter 13, where there's judgment, because all actions have consequences. All actions have consequences. So, the prophet of Judah, from Judah, he breaks the instruction of God. He stops, he eats at the old prophet's house. He gets back on the mule that the prophet had and begins to go on his journey. And what happens? A lion! A lion kills him. Consequences. Well, isn't that just a natural event? Read your text. Because as people saw that body laying there, there stood the donkey and the lion. The lion didn't maul the body. The lion didn't tear it apart for food. The lion did not attack the donkey and kill it and pull its carcass off for a future feeding. They stood there for all to see. God work in action. They stood side by side around the dead prophet. When news of this happened to come back to the old prophet, the liar, we see that he had a change of heart. Perhaps a change of heart. He has now the conviction that what was said is surely going to come to pass. He has that conviction that this man from Judah was from God and spoke the truth. He says, bury him in my tomb. Put him in my tomb. And when I die, put me next to him. Now the event is recorded. I believe it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 25 where Josiah does this very thing. He goes into Bethel. He destroys this temple. He destroys the altar. He has his servants dig up the bones of those who had served that altar and burned them, cremated them on that altar. All except one tomb. All except one tomb. And that tomb was the tomb of this older prophet. His bones and the prophet from Judah's bones remained at rest. Important thoughts. There are some lessons that I think we need to draw from this context or from this study. And that is, God's word is powerful. Don't mistake it. God's word is powerful then as it is now. He protects his people. The job's not over until God says it is. But I think this last point is really what I want to start the year with. Finish the race. Run the course. Be steadfast, I think Ed said in his prayer. Steadfast in Christ. This is a current message in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Stay the course. Be steadfast. John records the words of Jesus in the Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 as he says, what? Be ye faithful until halftime. No. Be faithful until death. That's our message. Be steadfast. You've got the word of God. Don't let somebody lie and pervert the word of God. Don't let the spirits that other people claim pervert the word of God. It's powerful. Be steadfast in your faith. this morning if you have need, whether to that initial obedience, just like the prophet was obedient to put the Lord on in baptism, or whether you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters. We're here to serve you this morning. Come forward as we stand and sing the song that Kevin has selected.